Okay, we are on the Memhei. No, much further than that. We are on Mem. Nun. Aleph from the base. Alach Gimel. Anshe Chotzer Shavanshe Mir Pesas. The, are you actually going to be a Sinus on Sunday? Is that the Maskon? 4:30 in the afternoon is my first year. 4:30. There's still 65, right? Anshe Chotzer Anshe Mir Pesas. Nun Alpha Base. Anshe Chotzer Anshe Mir Pesas. You have the people of the courtyard and the people of the porch. They did not make an Erev together. They should have, but they didn't. Anything which is more than 10 tefachim high in the yard belongs to the porch. Anything which is less than 10 tefachim high in the yard belongs to the chotzer. Therefore, if you have a hollow well, vasela, or a stone, whose rim or whose sides are 10 tefachim high, lemir pesas, that belongs to the porch. Pachos mikan, if it's less than 10 tefachim high, lechatzer belongs to the courtyard. Ba'medvar morim, when is that true? B'smucha, when it's near the porch. Avo b'muflegas, but if the well is distant from the porch, afilikvar asar tefachim, even 10 tefachim high, lechatzer belongs to the courtyard. Ezwi smucha, koshein rechoka bar tefachim, what is considered to be close enough to the porch, that's not a problem. Anything which is in fourth tefachim of the porch. Okay? Says more. By the way, I wanted to make a comment totally irrelevant to Gemara. I have noticed that since we came to the yeshiva, I have not fallen asleep while giving shir. Have you noticed that? You I don't know about you guys. That's right. But I have not fallen asleep. And they used the night call. Because it was more less well ventilated. I don't know exactly what. But are you sure? Yeah. So it was too stuffy, so I fell asleep by saying shir. But so far, I haven't done that yet. Huh? Okay. I'm not sure what they were doing while I was sleeping. All right, I guess we're all sleeping together. So it says, Mar, v'lo shel tachtoinim. Now, here's a very, very big chiddush Yerushalmi says. Well, it's not against the Bavli, it's just a chiddush in itself. V'lo shel tachtoinim. Look, this well, which is in the courtyard, 10th fucking high, from a monetary standpoint, belongs to people who live in the yard. It belongs to them. Yet, since it's more than 10 tefachim high, it becomes, vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos, divorced from them, and becomes now the halachic property, again, not Chosh Mishpah-wise, or Chaim-wise, becomes the property of the people who live in the porch, even though it doesn't belong to them. There's a very, very big distinction drawn here between ownership, in the classic Chosh Mishpah sense, and accessibility in the Hilchos Shabbos or Chaim sense. Okay, is that clear? What? Beneficial ownership. That's right. So it says, "Mar v'loshel tachtoinimi." Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, even though it belongs to the below, those merits below, this teaches those merits. Churbas Ruvein betoch shil chater Shimon. Let's say Ruvein owns a churba. He owns a ruin in Shimon's chater, right? He owns a ruin in Shimon's chater. V'Shimon mishtamish bo. And Shimon is using it. Churbas Ruvein v'chater Shimon, and in Shimon's chotzer there's a churba, right? And but it belongs to Ruvein. Nonetheless, in Shimon's mishtamish bo k'mishalo, so Shimon uses it, therefore it's his. It's as if it's his. Again, the beneficial ownership. The beneficial ownership is Ruvein, is Shimon's, even though it belongs to Ruvein because it's a churba. Ruvein doesn't live there. He owns it, but it's a Shimon's chotzer, and therefore, vis-a-vis Hilchos Shabbos, it belongs to Shimon. For Otzah on Shabbos. Right now, only discussing on Torah and Shabbos. That benefit. Okay? Says Mar Pshita Hoda Milsa. The following thing which you're about to say is simple. Lezebe Pesach, Lezebe Pesach. Let's say they both have access to a certain area with a Pesach, with an opening. In other words, two people live on either side, say, of a churva, of a chutzer, of a well. Both have had doorways leading into the well. Okay? They didn't make an error with each other, so Shnei Masurim, neither of them can carry. Right? Mina Baish Shabay, I didn't finish the sentence. The scenario is given here. You have two chatzeros, a house in the middle, and you have a pesach going from chatzer, one chatzer to the house, and for the other chatzer to the house. So both of them master each other because they both have equal access. They didn't make an error with each other, so therefore they're both forbidden to carry. Okay? What if you have two courtyards, house between the two of them? One of them can throws things up towards the house because the house is more intense talking about it above his courtyard. The other tosses things down because the house is more intense talking below his courtyard. So we have courtyard, and a house in the middle on the slope, let's say. So what's the law in that case? Asura shena kedar ice cream. Shmuel Amar shilshul mutar shukadarko. The guy who can toss down, he's okay, because that's kedarko. Now he doesn't explain why it's kedarko. That's because of gravity, right? That's you lob things down. You don't toss things up, right? So that's kedarko. And he's allowed to carry from his chutzer into the house. Uzrika asura. The guy who has to toss up into the house, he can't carry because that's not kedarko. She ain't kedarko. Rav Amar lo so klum. Rav says it's not true. Neither of them can do anything. Lo so klum means to toss it, both of them, because lobbing up and tossing down, or tossing up and lobbing down, are both equally shlo kedarko. Okay. Says Mar Masisa pliga Rav. It seems to be our Mishnah argues of Rav, because it says in our Mishnah kol shugav asar tefachim mir peses. Anything which is more than 10 tefachim high belongs to the courtyard. Pachas mikan, if it's less than 10 tefachim, lechatzer belongs to the chatzer. Says the Gemara, in this case, right, we're talking about one guy. The guy in the mirpeses lobs down. The other guy, the guy in the chatzer, tosses up, right? So. No, it's saying our Mishnah argues are wrong. Right. And our Mishnah gives it to the guy who can toss down, like Shmuel. Because our Mishnah gives it to the Mir Pesach, right? You have a well, which is in essence between the Chatzer and the Mir Pesach, right? So who gets the right in our Mishnah to use it? The guys in the Mir Pesach. Okay, so it's a kasha from our Mishnah on Rav, right? Is that obvious? So it says one. If it's a sort of a pet, Pachim Zikan Lechotzer. Says more, Lo Lezeb is Riko, Lezeb is Shulshul Imas Niso. Isn't our mission talking about where one guy tosses up, one guy lobs down? So it's a riot against Rob because we see you give it to the guy who can lob down. Says more, no. Masisa Bistok Shloshut Fachim Hilal Yoyna. A Chiddush. Our Mishnah, says Rav, is when the well is within three tefachim of the Mir Pesach. It's got to be within three tefachim of the Mir Pesach. If it's within three tefachim, that's when they give the Mir Pesach. Not because of Shmuel's for that he tossed down easier than lobbing up. No. He lobbed down easier than tossing up. No, not because that's why, but rather because it's within three tefachim of the Mir Pesach. So Masisa b'tosh lo shetvayin lo yoyna shilu malam etzor tva otoyin v'chtona. At the same time, it's more than 10 fachim of the bottom one. So now there's a lot of different mepharshim. The Korban Eda says lav dafka 3 tefachim. So as long as it's closer to the Mir Pesach than to the chatzer, right? That which Rav said that where Lezeb is weak, Lezeb is shisha, one's tossing up and the other's tossing down, that they ask each other is when it's not closer to either one of them. It's equidistant from both sides. But where it's closer to one side, so we go after the one which it's closer to. So here that it's within three tefachim of the mirpeses is not necessary, but rather it's got to be closer to the mirpeses than it is to the chatzer. That's his pshat. The Nir, who Lieberman brings down, says that he changes gears from three tefachim to ten tefachim. Says as long as the it's with the wells is in ten tefachim of the mirpeses, so it's considered to be part and parcel of the mirpeses. The Lieberman himself says that the three tefachim is dafka. It's got to be less than three tefachim. Why? Because we're going by easy usage. And only if it's within three tefachim is it easy usage. If it's more than three tefachim, it's not easy usage. So that's why it has to be, the wells be within three tefachim. If it's not easy usage, Rabbi Isai, says Lieberman, then we revert back to ownership. And who owns the well? We said before, the guys below. So that's what has to be within three tefachim in order to get easy usage, and that supersedes the actual ownership. The Reb Chaim Kanievsky finally says a very simple pshat. Says, why is it after you within three tefachim? Because if the well is within three tefachim, your pesach, that's like a pesach. It's better than tzrika. Even though you're actually tossing down and pulling up, but that's really like a pesach. Because of lavud. Lavud means that they're close enough together, they're considered to be one, and therefore it's if there's an opening from the porch directly down into the well. Why do they ignore the obvious? Because it's you have to understand the mentality that I'm forced to approach the Yerushalmi with. You do, right? Yeah. It took everybody else a long time to come up with that. Yes. Okay.
My other thought is that three tefachim is less than four tefachim.
That's what Gemara is going to talk about. The Gemara is going to say that. In fact, the bottom of the page. So it says more, Ma pli and Rav Shmuel b'shavet. Rav says that which we and argue, I and you, this is why the Nir says it's whatever is closer. And Lav Dafka three tefachim, or Karmenada also. But it says, Rav Shmuel, their argument is only where it's precisely equal. And one guy's throwing up, the other guy's throwing down. The Rav Shmuel said they're both osir, and Shmuel said we go after guys throwing down. But this is talking about the mirpeses says here in this case, it's closer to the well is closer to mirpeses, and that's why we give it to the mirpeses. Okay, hayasham churba. Now, what if there's a churba between two yards, a ruin between two yards? Rabbi Yochanan amar noisin churba lebaaleh. Rabbi Yochanan says you give the churba to whoever owns it. Now, Lieberman explains, isn't that Pasha? You obviously give it to the owner. So he says, no. He says, even if one of them, it's a little bit more difficult for one of them to use it than the other. But to between two courtyards, but one of them has harder access. One of them is easier access. Nonetheless, Rabbi Yochanan knows we give it to the guy who owns it, despite the fact that he has somewhat harder access. So, you know, before we said access is everything. In this case, it's a churba which is between two chatzeres. So it's a matter of degree to such an extent they're willing to forego the fact that it's easier for one and harder the other and follow the ownership. Okay? Where there's a mirpeses above a well, which is in a chatzer, so then it's much more of a difference. It's much more marked difference. So then in that case, we go after, you know, whoever has the easier usage. But here, when it's almost the same, it's just there's a slight difference in usage, so then we go after the ownership. Okay? Says the Gemara, Ad Kedun, and now the Gemara is going to explain that in great detail. Ad Kedun Mishtamish B'churba Derech Pischa. That's only if the owner at least has some access through his door to his churba. Hay Mishtamish B'churba Derech Chaloyin. What if he's using it through a window? Well, Rabbi Yachav, Hashem, Rabbi Yenison, said, if you look in, there's the churba L'Baalad. Even still, you give it to its owner. Rabbi Lazar, the Reb Chaim Kanievsky takes out the Rabbi Shimon, because obviously not Rabbi Lezer's son, Rabbi Shimon, the Tano, because everybody else in the Gemara here is an Amora. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua said, and besides, Rabbi Yeshua was after Lezer, Rabbi Shimon. Oh, he's not arguing. It's a new case, by the way. Hayu Shalosh. Now, this is the case. I have paper. Here I have. It's okay. Here's a churba. Churba. Korba, three in a row. And then you have a Bais. And a Bais. Okay? Hayu Shlosh Shalosh, there are three Korbas. One, two, three. Zemishtam is Korba there, Piso, and there's a Pesach over here. And there's a Pesach over here. So each guy uses the Korba adjacent to him through the Pesach. Zemish Tamesh, the Korba there, Piso. Right, this is a ruin. They use it for warehousing usually, things like that. Not for living, obviously, but for warehousing. The Korba. Okay, because shelter, you know, not livable. It's not a dwelling at all. A churva might consider to be a dwelling place. If it's used for storage, proper storage, it might be considered to be like a dira. But it's better than a karpa. Okay? What? Yeah, but you can store stuff there. Yeah. So storage might be sufficient usage. And we're going to discuss that later on. Okay? So in any event, so... So this guy can use this chorba through his opening. So this guy can use his chorba through his opening. And the middle one is also, because they both are equal in the middle one. And they didn't make an aid, these guys didn't make an aid with each other. If the middle one belongs to both of them, or they both have access to it. But if this middle one belongs solely for the marketplace, Zemishtamish Ba'achatz, this guy uses his. Zemishtamish, this guy uses Ba'achatz, Uvashayin uses his and this one. Everybody, now all the Rishayim ask, what do you mean? Why? So the Rashba says, it's talking about a case where this guy, let's say, whichever one of them, has more Ishtamshus. Even though he doesn't own it, but neither does the other guy. A third party owns it. So if we give whichever of the two of them uses the middle chorba more, we give him the middle chorba.
That's assuming there's access to
it. Yeah. But even that access is assuming there's access. Yeah. If say here there's a chalom. Because so it's less of an access. But they both have the chalom. Because if one had a Pesach, not just chalom, that would give him greater access and he would be the one which has access. Now, Reb Meir Simcha, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, he changes the gear some. Said of Haya Shalechot Min Ashuk, and this middle one belongs to him from Mark, but he says, Haya Me Eshel Echot Mehen, of them. And of course, then, if he belongs to one of them, we give him the Churba. So I don't know, it seems a little bit. So now his gears are changing. It takes away the problem of why should give it to one over the other. We give it to him because it's his, but then it's no Chiddush. So what's its partial? So I don't see what he gains. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yechon. Ha'omid v'cholom itztarpin l'arpa. That which is stands and that which is open joined together to make four tefachim. Right, if you have, this is the well. Right, and this is, let's say, a tefach, and this is a tefach. And there's two tefachim, and it's all joined together to make 4x4 tefachim. Whether that's true, the Gemara is going to immediately attack it. You have to have more free standing space than open space. So this actually would have to be 1.1 and 1.1, and this would have to be 1.8. They have more standing space. Says Gemara, Rabbi Zira boy, actually, oimikan, shkan, rabba. Does it mean that it can be eaten like this? Or does it mean that it has to be that in the middle is 1.3? And here's 1.35 and 1.35. In other words, you need that on both sides, right? Both sides are bigger than the whole. Or can it be like this, that together both sides are bigger than the whole? Not each one independently, but only together. Where do we have nafkamina? Where do you remember? Where's the nafkamina in this? Contemporary application. Oh, we have to get out the kicking machine. Tzitzis. You don't remember that? The Beggar of Tzitzis. The shoulders of Tzitzis have to be larger than the whole. The question is whether each shoulder pad, so to speak, by itself has to be itself bigger than the whole, or even together bigger than the whole. We're machmir. We owe that each shoulder strap itself has to be bigger than the hole in the middle. Okay, because that's a really Gemara's question here. How do you determine that it's the proper shear? Right? Is the proper shear even without? Yeah, the proper shear even without the having omen ruim mishteit skadim. We need dafka omen ruim mishteit skadim, both sides being meruvim from the hole. So it says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yosi, Pshita Rabbi Zir, she'eino omed mitzad echod. Do you have a test in your Gemara? Titz Tarif? What's the next word in your Gemara? It's a typo. Pshita she'eino omed mitzad echod mitzarif. It's poshut that if all the omed is on one side, it doesn't work. Right? If let's say it was here on this side, it was, you had 0.1 and then 2. Yeah. You had put 2 in here, 1.9, that doesn't work. Okay? That's no good. Because we say here, Asi Abir, the Haigisa Mevatale. Right? The airspace over here and the airspace over here comes as Mevato, this. That's overcome, right? So that's definitely no good. Okay, Pshita. Pshita is I made mitzad echod rabo. And it's partial that at least on one side you have to have more. So this actually is no good if you have 1.1 on each side and 1.8 in the middle. That's no good. At least one side has to be greater than the middle. Meaning this would have to be 1.35, let's say, and this would have to be 1.4, something like that. Okay, I'm not sure, obviously not exact, but you got the idea. The question is whether you have to have on both sides or Mimruba. Is there enough to have on one side greater than the whole or both sides greater than the whole? That's the more special. Of course you don't answer it. Rabbi Yimishim, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yitzchok said, Mishlosha Varabo, he must be sick. Our Mishnah is talking about between 3 and 4 tvachim. Meaning that that which the Mishnah said, that if it's more than 10 tvachim high, you give it to the Mirpeses. It's only if the gap between the well and the Mirpeses is between 3 and 4 tvachim. If it's pachos mishloish, if it's less than 3 tvachim distance, afilu pachos mi'aser, it says yoiser, which would be even pachos. Afilu pachos mi'aser mutter. Even it's less than 10, by the way, Lieberman doesn't change gears and he works it out, but it's easier to change gears, especially once we know Lovewood, which Lieberman didn't know. But once you know Lovewood, like Reb Chaim, so if it's less than 3 tvachim between the well and the Mirpeses, even if it's lower than 10 tvachim off the ground, it's as if it's connected to Mirpeses. So Pasha goes Mirpeses, right? Arba, vice versa, if there's more than 4 tvachim between the Mirpeses and the well, afilu, even if it's yoyse meyaser, if it's more than 10 tvachim away, it's awesome. Why? Because there's no easy access. And remember, the ownership is the chotzers. So there's no easy access between the porch and the well, because more than 4 tvachim, big gap between the two. No easy access, so therefore, you can't give it to the Mirpeses. The whole issue is, when do we go after where it's above 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, el anan kayomin mishloshav ad arba, when the distance between the mirpeses and the well is between 3 or 4 tefachim, then it depends. Excuse me, if the well is higher than 10 tefachim, so we give it to the mirpeses, to the porch. If the well is lower than 10 tefachim, then we give it to the yard. Okay? Aval yeshom tikra. But what if... Carbonate is a weird shot here. But Lieberman and Reb Chaim look like the Bnei Moshe. What if the well's got a cover? Then, afilu gavah kama, even if it's very high, shel tachtoinimi. belongs to lower guys. Why? Because the guys in the porch do not have a good way of getting off the cover. The guys on the ground, they'll stand there and pick up the cover, but guys in the porch, it's hard for them to stretch over and pick up the cover. So if the well is a covered well, no matter how tall it is, it belongs to the guys down in the courtyard. Okay? Amar Rebbe. Now, Lieberman points out a very cool thing. He says, the name is missing. It's obviously not Rebbe the Mishnah. It's Amar Rebbe somebody. And the name somehow got deleted from the from the Gemara. Now, the dim recess of my memory, you have a good memory. In the dim recess of my memory, I think that all the beginning of Yerushalmi, we once came to a tentative conclusion that there are other people in the Yerushalmi were called Rebbe.
Yes.
Other than Rebbe. Right?
Yeah.
I take it back. Because that's what Lieberman's saying. There's a name missing. Right? Right. That's Pasha. There's a name missing. It's Rabbi somebody. Yes. It was Rabbi somebody, and it was taken away because poor editing. Okay, I'm a Rebbe somebody. Kashayin Shom Nekin. That's only if there's no hole. There's a hole in the well, so even if it's covered, it's the people in your pets can still use it through the well's hole. So therefore, they don't have to have an actual, they don't have to be able to take off the top, and therefore it's still affiliated to them. Okay, aloha da. I know saying they say, Ruvo bebe shar bach sajer rebesis. You put your eruv for the chotzer in the gatehouse. Or sajer means an open area. Or mirpesis on a porch. Ain't no eruv, it's not about eruv, it's got to be in a house. If our doshim, somebody lives in one of these areas in the courtyard, you have to take them into account to make an eruv. Ain't no oser, it doesn't ask anybody else. Bebeisa tenen, if it's a warehouse for straw. Bebeisa boker, a warehouse for cows. Bebeisa, it's a warehouse for wood. Bebeisa otsus, another other kind of warehouse. I raise the eruv, it's a valid eruv because those are considered to be dwellings. So you can put the bread there. And if somebody lives there, Hador Shem, somebody happens to live in one of these structures, Yisrael, he has to participate in the eruv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, fundamental concept which we haven't had till now, Im Yesh Shem Tvusas Piyach Ba'abayis Ein Rosar Lo. The Ba'abayis owns objects, which are large, or muktzeh, as the Gemara will say, in the house of a tenant. So he doesn't have to make an eruv with the tenant. For instance, if you have a landlord who owns a refrigerator in your house, right, that's called tfisas yad, and you don't have to make an eruv with him because he has his ownership interest in your house. Okay? Says Rabbi Shem Rav said, Hodat amar beis shar shel yochid. That would you say, beis shar is not a dwelling place, it's only a beis shar of a yochid, of a solitary individual. In other words, you have a single individual in the chatzar, and he's got a beis shar in his chatzar. He doesn't need a beis shar. Right? The beis shar is not a valid beis shar. It's not a necessary structure, so therefore it's not going to be a dwelling, and he can't put the eruv there. Now, a beis shar shel rabim raise the eruv, but the beis shar of a rabim, the rabim do need a beis shar to prevent people from wandering in. Need more protection. So then, if you put the eruv there, raise the eruv by Dorsham, also if it's somebody who lives there in Asasa. Now, the Mara upon him, that's the Pei Moshe's parish on the bottom, and Reb Chaim Kanievsky changed the Girsa, because the Rambam changes the Girsa. And they say, if a Yochid has a Beis Shar, that's a valid Dira. Why is that? Because not too many people are going to pass through, because the courtyard belongs to an individual. And therefore, it's isolated. So, if the Beis Shar can serve as a dwelling place, and therefore you can put the eruv there. But it's the Beis Shar of the Rabbim, many people live in the courtyard, then ain't nobody going to live there because so many people are passing through the gatehouse. So, if it's not a valid dwelling, therefore you can't put an eruv in it. So, either Gisa works. You're okay, either Gisa you use, right? The Beis Rabbi Yanai Amre, and the house Rabbi Yanai said, what is Tfisas Yad? Even if you have a peg in the guy's house to hang your shoe. I know you're hanging your shoe on a peg. Maybe it's a snowshoe. But even if you own a peg in his house, that's called tfisas yad. Don't have to own more than that. Now, Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bo Bar China Amar Filu Nishatos. Even if you own a large slab of metal, Afilu Tavla. Even a tent.
There's another pshat here in the Shosh, I forget what it is.
The Kormeir brings down the cover of a keli. Even if you own a table, a tablet, that's sufficient. Now, Rav Omar, Ubad Dovashita B'Shabbos, Kai B'Tso, which can be carried on Shabbos. Now, that argues Rabbi Bo. Rabbi Bo would say about something which can't be carried on Shabbos, either because it's too heavy, because it's Muktzah. Right, it's either a slab of something which is very heavy, or it's a slab of something which is muktzah, has no particular use. Rival tzfisas yad is better than something which has a use. Right? Opposite svaras. According to Rabbi Yonai, since you can't move it on Shabbos, it's permanent. And that gives you more of an ownership. According to Rav, since you can use it on Shabbos, you have ishtamshus. You have usage in your friend's house. And that's what makes gives you a presence there. So different svaras. Amrei Bar Abba said a fascinating ma'isa. Ma'isa be'achot shayu lushal tanigoyefdim be'ezush chaveru. The guy who owned a chicken coop within his friend's house. In other words, he had to walk through his friend's house to get to the chicken coop. So that's tefisas yad, right? Nichna shalom mirshus used to go without his permission to the chicken coop. Now, chicken coop, though, is muktzah, so it's not a dovra nito b'shabbos. The chickens themselves are muktzah. So according to Rav, how is that valid tefisas yad, right? So came from Rav, Omar came and shazok alitev neimayim, said to it's incumbent upon you to feed them, so therefore, kemoshu dovish nito b'shabbos, if it's something which can carry on Shabbos. Meaning, you have responsibility towards the chickens on Shabbos. And therefore, it's considered to be ishtamshus on Shabbos. Now, what's amazing about this Gemara, as Reb Chaim Kanievsky points out, is extreme difficulty with. Tfisas Yad, conventionally, is only a concept when I'm renting to a house. There's a landlord-tenant relationship. So the landlord doesn't have to enter into an Eruv with the tenant, nor the somebody else who contracts an Eruv with the landlord have to contract additionally with the tenant because of Tfisas Yad. Because the landlord still has ownership interests and that he still has retains objects in the house of the person who is his tenant. But here it sounds like one of the thesis yet works even with somebody with whom I have no relationship whatsoever. He's my friend. He's not renting a house from me. He's my friend. And I have the right of access through him to my chicken coop. That suffices, even though I don't have any relationship with him as a tenant landlord. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky has difficulty with that, because again, that's not what Tfisas Yad means. Tfisas Yad means a landlord-tenant relationship. The landlord is primary, and you don't have to rent from the tenant because it's Tfisas Yad. Not that if I have two people live next to each other, and I own objects in your house, I have to make an heir with you because it's Tfisas Yad. That's not true. So he wants to say, even though it's not explicitly Rishami, he wants to say this story about a case of rental as well. Okay, it's not the case where the guy who has the house through which you walk to get the chicken coop, he rented that house from you. And you don't have to make an heir with him because you have the right of access to the chicken coop. Okay? Says more further. Rabbi Yaakov Shem Shmuel Tamuide, Rabbi Yechonah said, not said. Salgan Achbari went to the city of Achbari. The Simon heard the Rabbi Yana and he relied on what Rabbi Yana said that even if you own a peg in your friend's house, that's considered to be Tfisas Yad. Chizkiah did not say that. In other words, he didn't say we could pass it to Rabbi Yana. Rather, El Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yami, Salkun Achbori, they went to Achbori, the Shalom Midvar of Rabbi Yana, and they inferred from Rabbi Yana's psak that looks like real Tfisas Yad sufficient. But not necessarily that the sufficient tfisas yad which we seek is the ownership of the peg. Perhaps he says yad requires more than that. It's just that they learned that tfisas yad is sufficient. Okay? That's why I learned Rabbi Yad. Halacha. Keep out the scorpions. You're obviously not a Sherlock Holmes fan. What did Sherlock Holmes keep? Let's see. Hey, yeah, Sherlock Holmes. A slipper. What was in the slipper? Tobacco. He kept his tobacco in a Persian slipper hanging on the wall. Okay.
I've read every Sherlock Holmes. I don't remember.
Not as big a bucky as in baseball, then. You have to chaser. Rav chaser never. Okay. Hamineiches bebeisel. Somebody leaves his house. V'horach lishpos b'irachas, he goes to reside in another city for Shabbos. Echod akum. V'echod Yisrael. Whether the guy is a goy from which you would have had to skir for shus had to remain, or the guy is Yisrael from which you would have to have chaserus had to remain. Harei he might come back on Shabbos, and he still asers the Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir ain't oser. Once he's gone, doesn't aser. Rabbi Meir depends. Akum, if it's goy asers because he might come back on Shabbos. Yisrael ain't oser. Yisrael doesn't aser. Shein there the soul of a Shabbos. A Jew is not going to come back on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu inech his beisoy. Even if he left his house, v'achlish bosei to beat the bosoyer, only to go to his daughter in the same city. Ain't oser, rei doesn't aser. Hi, maybe he'll come back in the middle of Shabbos because he's still in the same city. He didn't leave town. He might get to fight with his daughter and come back home. No, shekvari siyach milibo. You're ready to determine he's not going to spend Shabbos there. He doesn't aser, even if he comes back in the middle of Shabbos, it sounds like, right? So that's what I was about to ask. Adod Rabbi Meir. First of all, this Rabbi Meir is the same as Rabbi Meir's other Shita. Rabbi Meir Omer Abayis, I know, even if I lock the door to a house, which is between our two courtyards, I lock it voluntarily, my door to the house, you still can't use it from your side. Why? Abayis is also because I can open the door in the middle of Shabbos. So it's the fact that I'm off limits now, it doesn't mean I'll continue to be off limits for the rest of Shabbos. And therefore, it's not mutter right now. Says the Gemara, what about Yochel Avayderv? Now, like Rabbi Meir, what about Rabbi Yosef? Where Yisrael left the city, but he can come back to an Erev Truman. He's close enough to come from Erev Truman. Or for that matter, you know, Avarubah. What if he transgresses and comes back on Shabbos? And Mechal Shabbos comes back. There's Mar, no Chochmas. Marukum Shem Rav said, in that case, Aloch Rabbi Meir. That case, even Rabbi Yosef would agree. If he comes back, it asers. It's only as long as he's away that it's permitted. But once he comes back, he asers. Okay. Bavli did. Bavli spoke about the difference whether it's who he was visiting. That's right. Very good. Okay. Shami doesn't seem to have that difference. The Darkin Shem, right? Yerushalmi, everybody got along. So Gemara says to the Hedge, then you. Now it's the opposite. Things have changed over history. It says, when it's an edge, it says, in Eretz Yisrael, the Jews got along with each other, and Bavel, they didn't get along. So now we're all Babylonians. All right. Says Gemara, we have a Borsha ben Shtei Chatzeres. Chatzer. Bor. Chatzer. Now this Bor, there's water. Here's the imaginary dividing line between the two yards. So what do I need in order that I should be, each one of us should be able to fill up water on Shabbos from the board? What's necessary? That's what our mission is going to discuss. Bor Shabbos Shtei Chatzeres, a board between two yards, ain't Malim Menem B'Shabbos. You can't fill up for it on Shabbos. Elikate Allah Sulo Mechitza Gavah Asar Tvachim. Unless you made a wall which is 10 tefachim high, bein milamato and bein mitoch ogno, whether it's below or within its within the cavity. So its lamato would be down here, right? Mitoch ogno means it has to come at least down this far, but the rest of it can be above here. Okay, so those are two possibilities. It has to come down actually into the water, or it has to just be betoch ogno, meaning some part of it has to come into the cavity between the two fields, between the 2 yards. So, Amar Abshim Ben Galil, Bisham Mimilamata, Bisham it says below.
Now, the way Korban Ed explains it, which is like the Bava explains it, not the Yerushalmi, I don't know why they're all bringing the Bava here. But according to Yerushalmi, you have to have a wolf that fucking, nine fucking which are in the water, and one tefach above the water. That's how to make the wall. Milamata means nine fucking below and one above. Beisilamri, milamala. You can even have the opposite. Nine tefachim above and one tefach below. Right? That's sufficient. Rabbi says the mechitza doesn't have to be any better than the wall between the two of them. In other words, the mechitza can actually start over here. It doesn't even have to be a toch ogno. Tanakama said it has to go into the cavity a little bit, right? Rabbi says it can be just above, and that's completely sufficient. We don't need anything more than that. Okay, Milan the Rabbana plea, in the words of the following rabbis argue. Rabbi Shulman Levi and Rav. Now the gears here is a bit messed up. I would change the gears, so, but it's not necessary. I can make it work. All I need is a shoehorn. Don't. Rabbi Yaakov Levi, Rabbi Shulman Levi, Zushate Mechitza Mishukas B'Mayim L'Shal Shelfli. He doesn't know about the Babish Pshat. 9 and 1, 1 and 9. He says the wall has to go down into the well, into the water enough to block the bucket going from side to side. How far do you normally put a bucket into the well? That's in order to prevent both using the same common area. Okay? The truth is, what I would have done is I would have put the lower before the Gemara began. Because that's really a question. Aren't they both using one Rishus? And then the Gemara answers, there are two different ways of understanding what you do. And the first way, which we're explaining, is that you need to have a mechitza, a shia rulomar, and limachias emirah bratvachim. A bucket doesn't go the more than four tefach in the water. So therefore, how much of your wall has to be within the water? Four tefachim. Six tefachim can be above, right? Rabbi Tavloi b'shem Rab said, ein churba l'mayim. Water is not like a churba, not like a ruin. In a ruin, there's a locha, ein mechitza tluya materes. A wall which is above the ground doesn't work. It has to be within 3 tefachim of the ground. But water is not a churba, and therefore he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, really, that the wall doesn't have to descend into the wet water at all. Or maybe not like Rabbi, like Tanakama. It doesn't have to descend to water, it just has to descend into the cavity, but it doesn't have to descend into the well. A mechitza tluya, a dangling wall, even if it's more than 3 tefachim off the ground, or 3 tefachim off the water in this case, is a valid type of mechitza. Okay? You know, I might have said that, but the Gemara doesn't say that. I don't think so. Mars would say something similar, but I don't think that Mars says that in the Bible either. Could be you're right, but I don't remember. Okay, so, Hayisham Tikra. What if instead of a wall there was a Tikra? Meaning a roof. Somehow you had a roof structure over here, over the water. So I would have said without fourth Vulcan. But the Reb Chaim says it has to be 4 tefachim wide. Because then what do I say? P-tikra, right. So I don't need a wall because I have P-tikra on each side, which cuts the water on one side off and the water on the other. Ayesha tikra, right, so kill your ass, so you see it if it comes down and goes off. And similarly, Ayesha amatra, if there is a kira, I'd roll so kill your ass for the stamus, and here too he says it has to be at least 4 tefachim wide. The problem is I got a problem with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says I need a wall. It doesn't have to go into the water. It doesn't even have to go into the cavity. It could be this wall over here above the cavity, but I need a wall. Well, that contradicts Rabbi Yehuda's own shita, because Taman Masech the Beitza on Rabbi Yehuda, it says Rabbi Yehuda put her mayim shem mamish. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say a woman lends a friend water to knead a dough on Yontif. And the first woman had a Tchum Shabbos which went that way. And the second woman's Tchum Shabbos goes that way. So we say, Mayim Ein Bein Mamish. Water is not significant, therefore it's not Kavua in the Tchum of the first woman. Any other foodstuff or substances, but not water. So we see here, water is not significant, and it can change hands. So if that's the case, what do I care if the water sloshes back and forth? Let it slosh. What I need a wall for. Just like I can actually give it to another woman, even though my tchum is different than hers. Let it slosh back and forth. And guess what the Gemara answers? No answer. Okay? See, you think like you show me Tamar already. Here he says differently. No answer. Rabbuna says, who should take mechitza bolet as a tochal al shabar? You have to have, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, it doesn't have to go all the way down into the cavity. It has to go a little bit into the cavity. Okay, it's not answering the question why Rabbi Yehuda requires the wall at all. That's difficult. But the wall has to send a drop into the cavity, even though it doesn't have to actually hit the water. Question, how much symbolism is required? Okay. Hello, Chazai. Amas Amai. Shover's Bechotze. Are we, by the way, how far behind are we? 3 weeks? How many weeks behind are we? I have not gotten the new Luach yet. Only goes to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, but 4 days later. Where? Zayim, sorry, I'm Zayim. So we are. We're almost 3 weeks behind still. Okay. It's going to get worse over Sukkot, but Shkolim, we're still within the parameters of what Shkolim will make us up when we skip that Masechta. By the way, don't forget, there's no Yerushalmi blood for Yom Kippur, so we will not fall behind on Yom Kippur. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. Small comfort at this stage, right? Aloha Zayim. Amasamayim Shoveres Bechotzer. You have a canal which goes through a chotzer which goes through a courtyard. A monument with Shabbos. You cannot fill water from that canal on Shabbos. Okay, the Sulu Mechitza Gavah Sarat Fahim Mechitza V'Yitzio. Unless it has walked that Fahim where it comes in and where it goes out, because otherwise it's Poritz L'Malkam Ashulo, right? It's coming from beyond the wall. Going to be on the wall, so it must have a wall. Now, of course, this wall is also symbolic because the water flows in and out all Shabbos long, right? But nonetheless, it's a symbolic wall which is essential in order that it should be considered to be right now the water of your courtyard. I'm Rabbi Yehuda by Amas Amayim Shel Aval. How can you say it's Ma'isa Amas Amayim in Aval, certain place? Shemali Men Alpiz Kenim Shabbos. These can fill up water from it on courtyard based on the Pesach of Chazal on Shabbos. Armulo, so he said there's a nationally because shear wasn't, it didn't have a shear. It wasn't 10 fucking deep and 4 fucking wide, which is a shear of a canal to be significant unto itself. The more is going to discuss whether that's the precise shear, whether it's something else, but in a few lines. Meantime, Mastisa Bamuka Sora Barbara puts me kind of obviously the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about where there was a shear. So the canal is 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide, and it goes directly through the courtyard from side to side. Nivra tzamiru achachas. Now, what if it doesn't go from side to side? Only on one side. No sin lechi v'korim v'kan, only needs lechi or korim. Interesting, we treat the water like a mavi. The water needs a mechitza like a mavi. In other words, the water traveling through needs the same parameters as a mavi traveling through. So if it's only open on one side, so you need a lechi or korim. Leave it to a mikanakan. If it's open on both sides, nice and lechi the korim mikan, need a lechi on one side. But it's a church to pass the mikan, make a church pass on the other side. Now here says the Gilyon HaShas, very interesting phenomenon which we see here, a tzuras HaPesach over water works. I was always under the impression that it does not. I mean, not always. A few years ago I figured out it did. But this is explicitly showing me that it does. Now the tzuras HaPesach doesn't have to go over a road or over a surface where you can walk through, which you would think is a Pesach, but even it's a Pesach for water or for a boat, that's also considered to be a Teresa Pesach. Yeah. The Galilee. The Canary. The Verrazano Narrows Bridge. What? No. But it's still, whatever goes, you're not allowed to go under it on Shabbos in a raft or a boat, but the Teresa Pesach over is a valid Teresa Pesach.
also within the concert.
Right. But suppose he had a lake. Let's suppose he had a river. He wanted to carry in the river, like Yaakov said, for the water walkers. You right? So that, I've committed for Yoshka. So then you'd be allowed to carry on Shabbos, as it turns to Pesach around the water, around the river or the lake. On the river or the lake. Well, here what's necessary is it allows you to draw water from the river into your chatzar.
Even though the river's coming from outside.
Right. Okay. Says the Gemara, "V'lonim to shtei rishus mishtamshus perishus ha'achas." Wait. Now this is going back to the Mishnah, the Amas Hamayim and Aval. Now the Yerushalmi is asking like this. Anybody has difficulty with the question, but Chaim Kanievsky gives a nice shot. It says in Aval, there obviously here's a chutzner, here's a house, here's the Amma, the canal, here's a chutzner, here's a bais. Now these two houses cannot make an area with each other because there's a wall in between the two of them. The wall meaning the riverway, right? You can't make a air between the two, unless there's a bridge or something, which there's no bridge. So I asked the Gemara, both of these Rishuyos are using this one Rishus. That's no good unless they made an air together. How are they both allowed to use the river if they didn't make an air together with each other? It's halacha. Ain't shtei Rishuyos mishtamshus b'Rishus achas. Two different Rishus can't use one Rishus unless they made an air, right? No houses on this side. All the houses were on this side. And they all made an Erev together. And that's why they were all allowed to use the Amon Shabbos. Okay? Pshita Adam Milson. Now, this is Pasha. If it's Amukasar, if the river is 10 tefillin deep, Veinu Chavar Bava, not 4 tefillin wide, Mutzu Tauto, you're allowed to carry within the riverway, within the trench of the riverway, within the channel. Mutzu Ma'alos, and you're allowed to fill up from there. Why? Because it's a Mokum Tur. So that's important. It's a Mokum Tur. Rechav Arba Veinu Amukasar. If it's 4 tefillin wide, but it's not 10 tefillin deep, Pshita Shemutzu Tauto, you're allowed to carry within the trench. That was a Chiddush. The Rachmanim say, I don't know why it's Pshita. Why is it so partial? Maybe it's Kamlitz and it's also carried there. But obviously, by water, Rabbanim were somewhat lenient. But the Shaila is, can you carry from the trench? Oh, no, that's not what I'll take it back. I remember. But Shaila is, can you take from the trench, fill up water, and bring it to your yard? Now, why is there a Shaila? Here, we're talking about a trench which is going through your Rishus HaYochid, right? Here's the trench. This is an aerial view. Here's your Rishus HaYochid. Now, obviously, this is all one Rishus HaYochid. So, why should you not be allowed to carry from this trench into this Rishus HaYochid? So, the Gemara says, so the way the Mefarshim explain is because, why it's a question? Because since this is more than 10 tefachim broad, this is more than 4 tefachim broad, right? It's more than 4 from here to here. Even though it's less than 10 tefachim deep, what does it look like to people who look at it? What's the Marisayan issue? This looks like a Carmelis. It was more than 4 tefachim wide, less than 10 tefachim deep, it's a Carmelis. Now, it's not really a Carmelis, because it's the middle of a Rishus HaYochid, right?
It's open on both ends.
No, so they close it. But it still looks like a Carmelis, right? So is there a Gzera not to fill up water from here to here? Okay? So it says, more Ma'alu Ma'alu, so Rabbi Chenin Amar Mutar, Rabbi Mono Amar Osir. Machlokas. Masisa Pliga Rabbi Mono, Ar Mishra'i Rabbi Mono. Mono says it's Osir, but here it says, Amalami Nesh Loi Oba Kashir. It says that since it wasn't a Shir, so they're allowed to fill up water from the Amoshal Avo. So if it sounds like if it's not a Shir, you're allowed to fill up no matter what. Sakurai Mono Osir says, no, Loi Samuka Sarv Lora Chavarba. Right, Mona answers, that's what about case where it wasn't 4 out of 4th volume wide. But where it is 4th volume wide, it looks like a Carmelis. So then in that case, Taki can't fill up from it. Now I ask one Rabbi Chanina. The truth is it's a question on both. Roy saw Avolim. Now there's a couple of typos here. Okay, Moshe, everybody points out. Avolim lo. Should be a word lo there. Im Roy saw Mukasar, if it wasn't 10th volume deep. and should be vihira chavarba. Also, if it's not 10 tefachim deep, but it is 4 tefachim wide, it sounds like it's also, right? Now, this is a kasha on Rabbi Chanina. Says Mar, no. Afilu chav arba ve'ein amukas, because it sounds like the only reason I make l'remesh is because it didn't have the shear both in depth and in width. But it sounds like if it has the shear in one direction, meaning say it's wider than 4 tefachim, even though it's shallower than 10 tefachim, it's also, it's the kasha Rabbi Chanina says mutter. Says Mar, no. Afilu chav arba ve'ein amukas or mutter. No. Even if it's 4 tefachim wide and not 10 tefachim deep, it's mutter and there's no gzeir of karmas. Hi, we just said the Amon Ava was less than 4 and less than 10. Mat Ava Uvda Ava Uvda. That happened to have been the case there. But that's not necessary, even if it's less, even if it's more than 4 tefachim deep. Deep, says Rabbi Chanina, as long as it's less than, even if it's more than 4 tefachim wide, as long as it's less than 10 tefachim deep, we allow you to fill up from there, because it's not a separate shus, and we don't make a gzer that looks like a karmus, because it's all in the middle of a shus ayachi, and you're allowed to fill up from there on Shabbos. Okay, that's enough for this evening. We will stop here.